The Manhattan Area Amateur Radio Society got that correct this time. It's a little better than just saying local ham radio operator group. And I guess that does bring us, you know, to the question of ham radio operator, what it really stands for. And I will lead off with Jim Foster. And Jim, of course, is a secretary with the group. Myron Calhoun is the emergency coordinator for Riley, Gary, and Clay counties. And I know that Jim had fun talking to you on the phone a little bit before you came in. But let's tell people, and I have a brother-in-law that does this kind of thing, but tell us what the ham really means, ham radio. We've all heard it.
Well, thanks, Kathy. Well, tell you what, honestly, I don't know if even ham radio operators can understand what ham means. It's a very old title. It's been there from the very earliest days of ham radio, which, as a licensed service, has been around since the beginning of the 20th century, basically, early part of the 20th century. And some people say it's because they're hams on the air. Other people think it's an acronym for hardly any money, because we tend to spend so much money on our hobby. But honestly, it's just a good shorthand way to. It's a lot more easy to say than amateur radio.
And you would think, yeah, it'd be an acronym somehow involved there, but who knows? Maybe some of the different roles that ham radio plays. And you know, I think most of us have heard of ham radio operators and that kind of thing. But kind of remind us the different things that the group does.
Yeah, well, amateur radio, broadly speaking, I mean, our group is just a group of amateur radio enthusiasts. A lot of our focus tends to be on community service. How do we use our skills to serve the community? And that's there are multiple sides of amateur radio. Some are in it for the hobby and the technological exploration, the fun you can have with that. Others are about how do we use our radios, how do we communicate. And so some of the things we do is we support bike rides. Like annually, CASA runs a fundraiser in terms of a bike ride that runs through the local area. And so what we do is we send out our operators in cars, and we monitor the route, keep an eye out for hazards, keep an eye out for bike riders who are having problems, and either help transport them or get them help in some way when they're maybe outside of cell service.
And, you know, Myron, I know, too, in your role and what you do, emergency coordinator with Riley, Gary, and Clay counties, that obviously is another that's a role that you play, too.
It turns out that ham radio is the only hobby that I know of, anyway, that actually in federal law is mandated to be there to provide emergency service. And so that's what the RACES, the Radio Amateur Civil Emergency Service. If something were to happen, you know, the really bad thing happens, the federal government can shut amateurs off the air because the military may need their frequencies for communicating. But if the local organizations and local governments needed to communicate and didn't have military handy, the federal government can actually authorize some amateur radio operators, the RACES operators, to get back on the air and communicate in emergencies.
And has that actually happened while you've been in this area?
No, thank heavens. Mm-hmm. I've been here over 40 years, but in World War II, for example, it wasn't called RACES in those days. It was WARS, WARS. But it has happened. All amateurs were off the air except for the ones that could provide communication from town to town, for example, or one side of town to the other.
Now, Myron, I know we serve on the LAPC committee together, so that just shows, I mean, the importance of what you do. You play a vital role on that committee. And, I mean, I know we take it for granted sometimes, but really you're there when we have emergencies and such.
Well, I try to be, and it turns out, though, in the last 20 years, the only time you've had emergencies, I've been somewhere else, but which is good planning, I think. But I've had other people who helped me who were there, and they just jumped in and took over.
Now, Jim, and I know this is important. A lot of times we do think of you like in severe weather, just like we think of, you know, the radio station here. But right. You also are out and about doing different things. And as we mentioned, too, in emergency communications, you're there and ready for that.
Right. And that's one of the reasons we like to organize as a club, is because, you know, it's easy for an individual to go out and get a license. You can go on the website. It's very easy to find a test. But learning the skills to use that in an emergency is something we try to help people do. And so the bike rides become a training for that kind of skill set. And then, of course, we have, as you mentioned, Kathy, the weather, with the weather worn, whatever that stands for, Myron, weather amateur radio network, where we have storm spotters that support in severe weather, support that sort of thing. And then we are integrated at various levels with other emergency response in Riley County. And we have hopes of being so integrated in Pott County very soon.
Well, and I know, too, and generally, you know, that's one strength of radio is a lot of times your television stations, some of them will go off the air. We have a generator. I mean, we keep going as much as we possibly can. But you're also there, you know, backup and the importance of having that. I noticed that you mentioned, of course, the Joplin tornado. I mean, that, of course, wasn't here. So, I mean, it didn't maybe directly impact you, but I'm sure there were amateur radio operators that were crucial during that whole thing.
Yeah, and overall, ham radio has a long history of doing things like that. Joplin's a perfect example because in conjunction with the Salvation Army, they were able to network a lot of hams, many of whom were based in the who live in the Kansas City area, were able to transport down. And again, because of both their operating skills on the radio, but the training they had in plugging into the incident command structure of emergency management, were able to go down there, plug into the incident, and provide a lot of their communication. Was the cellular network was overwhelmed or down, they would communicate between hospital and hospital to help coordinate patient care and share critical medical information.
And don't forget that hams supply their own equipment, too. We don't have to depend on your generator. We have our own equipment. We pay for it with our own money. We do not get paid. That's one reason for amateur, I think the word, is we are professional in nature, but we are volunteers, and we take our equipment with us.
Well, and it really does sound like a lot of fun. I've toyed with becoming one myself. I told Jim I did get my first class FCC license back in the day when that meant something. But, you know, it does cost some money, I'm sure, as you kind of made jokes about, you know, finances. But
yeah, and the hardly any money refers to the fact that, like any hobby, if you get into it, if you really want to throw money at it, you can. But the neat thing about amateur radio is, to get started costs, I mean, Myron made, in talking about it before, he made the point it costs less than owning a cell phone because...
For a month,
you know, and it's a one-time cost. You can go out and for about $15 take the test. You can train online for free. There are many, many websites. Google amateur radio practice test and you will find many websites. $15 for the test and you can get a basic radio that will allow you to communicate in the local area and on our repeaters for about $40 off of Amazon. It really is very inexpensive to get into and very easy.
Well, you know, Cleveland Institute of Electronics is who I went through, but I mean, you can reach vast, you know, distances too.
Though not with that little $40 radio.
That's true.
No, but with not much more equipment, yeah. For example.
Well, my favorite long distance radio cost me $200 about 1975 is when I bought it. I still love it. That would probably be $800 now considering inflation and so on, but can talk anywhere in the world on a battery that's plugged into a car, perhaps.
That's just unreal the way that works. Well, I guess before we wrap up today, too, we could talk all day. This is so much fun. But Jim, I mean, there's all kinds of fun ways, and I guess you're always looking for more members. I mean, if somebody wants to find out more about what you do and some of the things that you do.
Yeah, very much so. Anybody who'd like to participate, we meet on the second Friday of every month over at the Vista Drive-In on Tuttle Creek Boulevard. We show up and start eating about 5:30, and we formally call the meeting at about 6:30. So anybody's welcome to show up. We also have a website, ks0man.org, where we post all our information, and there's contact links. You can contact myself, my email's there, and phone numbers. So anybody's interested, please reach out. We'd be happy to help.
Well, Myron, anything else you want to add today? Who would you encourage to maybe join up? I mean, you have a lot of fun. You do a lot of different things.
Well, a lot of technical people do it just because of the technicality of it. But our county started about 3 or 4 years ago a group called CERT, which had to do with just ordinary citizens looking for emergency responsibilities. CERT members ought to be hams because then they can talk to other CERT members and coordinate the emergency things they're doing.
Well, I appreciate both of you stopping by. We could have talked all day. Jim Foster with us and Myron Calhoun, and, of course, both with the Manhattan Area Amateur Radio Society. We'll take a break. Leroy Johnson standing by. He's a Manhattan High School alum and nationally known pianist, going to share with us about another concert that he has planned. You're listening to In Focus on News Radio 1350 KMAN.